prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. I've had a great week, and I am ready to get into this radio show today.
That's right. This is where faith and reason coexist together.
Yes, faith and reason meet right here. Whether you're a scientist, right, a pastor, a theologian, a biochemist, an astronomer.
Exactly.
Whatever. You can get along.
I am going to call my congressman.
Yes.
Because I want for their law to be passed.
Okay.
That you can have faith and reason coexisting together in the same household.
It's already the law on this show.
That's right.
It should be the law of the land.
It should be.
Oh, yes. So whether you're a philosopher or a Bible student, you should use your brain.
You should.
Whether you're a scientist or studying the Bible. And today, we're going to be taking a look at suffering. Why does God allow suffering is a question people ask.
Oh, what a subject.
I have a question. Is suffering the worst thing that can happen? What should be our focus while we suffer? Now, I'm going to admit up front that our answer today about suffering is a bit unconventional, but I believe it's biblical.
Oh, okay.
Christians need to know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Atheists should hear this and understand why we respond to suffering the way we do. But you know, we've already done shows on the logic behind why evil exists, why suffering exists, why natural disasters happen. We've done the logic. This right. one,
so we're going to have a bunch of links to prior shows on this one.
Sure,
huh?
You can link it up all you want at truthrevolution.tv. You can go find those logical answers. Today, we're doing a little more logic on what happens after we suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also have a listener question about why was the Bible written so far after Jesus, and why aren't there any non-Christian references about Jesus?
Uh-huh.
That's what the listener question says.
Okay. All right.
And we also have a Bible contradiction.
Sure they're a listener?
Someone has said there's a Bible contradiction. They found one. We're gonna provide an answer like we do every single week. So we got a question. We got a Bible contradiction. And the answer, the question about suffering. Pat Robertson, do you remember when there was the earthquake in Haiti?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want this show to be like just banging on other people and
you know what? I think Pat Robertson is genuinely a nice person.
I agree.
He seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
He's always very mellow and very straightforward.
Most of the time, he's a pretty good guy.
He is.
However, every now and then,
yeah,
he says something like this. He says about the earthquake that hit Haiti. Mm-hmm. People might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you get us free from the French." And then Pat Robertson says, true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. But ever since, they've been cursed by one thing after another. Desperately poor. Wow, Pat.
I'm speechless. And that doesn't happen very often.
I wonder what happens when Pat Robertson gets sick.
Right.
Because obviously he didn't swear a pact to the devil, but I'm pretty sure he gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point. We all suffer. Dave, over here, have you ever suffered?
Well, yeah.
I've suffered. Pat Robertson has. Haiti has. I just got back from the hospital visiting a friend in the hospital who's very sick. Some weird stuff going on. We had a friend last week from our church who died after a car wreck. I bet if Pat Robertson had to look the children from Haiti in the eye, he would shut up.
Yeah, he might change his tune.
Yeah, I wonder what Pat Robertson would have said about Job.
Wow.
Now,
that's
Job, if you're unfamiliar, he's a man in the Bible who suffered tremendously. And actually, today we're looking at Job and how he responded to suffering. This is from Job chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And this just gives us a picture of who Job actually is. It says this.
It says that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys.
Good pluralization.
And
donkey.
And had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the peoples of the East.
He was the greatest man. I mean, sons and daughters and sheep and thousands of animals. I mean, he was epically rich.
Yeah, and he was a very, very busy man, obviously.
And very powerful man. But then, we read in the Bible, Satan visited God. Now, we can't understand why, but God let Satan afflict Job. Do you know what happened?
All Job, sorts of things.
He lost his oxen and donkeys. Job lost his sheep. Job lost his camels. Job lost almost all of his servants. Job lost his sons and daughters.
Ooh, that's got to be the worst right there.
And then Job lost his health. He was covered in painful sores from head to toe. Now, if you're taking notes today, I want you to just write this down in big, bold letters. Job lost all of his wealth, many friends, and his children all in the same day, and later gained painful sores from head to toe. Mm. Pat Robertson probably would have said, Job must have sold his soul to the devil. And certainly that's what people would be saying. Oh, where's your God now?
Right, because he obviously didn't follow God because he didn't have any kind of prosperity.
That was certainly the assumption from people back then. The atheist today would be saying, well, obviously God doesn't exist. Job was a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like what you said, where is your God now?
Right, but here's Job's response. Here is his description in the pain, of the pain. Job 6:4 says, the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. God's terrors are marshaled against me. Job is suffering, and there's nothing here about him doing wrong. He didn't do wrong, but he is suffering immensely by the arrows of the Almighty. He feels like God himself is against him.
Right.
And he says that he is in terror, and this word terror means devastation and destruction. That's how his life is right now. It's full of God's devastation and God's destruction brought against Job. These are the terrors that Job says God has marshaled against me. You know, his children dying, losing everything he owns, his body shutting down and bringing him pain. And then he says God has marshaled them against me. If you look at the original language, this is what it means. And marshaled is a military term. It means God has organized troops, he arranged them properly, and he attacked in order. I mean, the image is of a mighty general arranging the soldiers on a field, shouting, attack! And then with precision and anger, the troops strike. And surely, I mean, this has got to be how Job felt.
Yeah, wow.
It was a marshaled attack. First, some animals had died. He lost his wealth. Then his friends died. Then his family, his children died. And then his own body turned against him with sores. This is not just random violence, but a precision strike bent on breaking him down.
Right, and that's one thing heaped on top of the other.
Exactly.
And, you know, I often think about Job. Would I have been able to stay faithful through all that Job went through?
That's an interesting question because in verse 8, Job says, oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for. Now, he's about to tell us what he hopes for. We would expect it to be freedom from pain.
Right.
We would expect in the midst of suffering that Job would say, God, here's what I want. I want you to wake me up from this dream and tell me it's not real. I want you to give me back what you took, God. We would expect him to say, at least let me taste good food one more time.
Right. Because that would be our reaction, typically.
But what does Job say? What is his hope? Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for, that God would be willing to crush me and let loose his hand and cut me off.
Wow.
Job's hope is that God would crush him, kill him. Why would he say this? Why would this be his hope? We think, oh, well, obviously he just wants the pain to end.
Right.
But that's not it. He's not talking about the pain ending. Listen. He says, if God would kill me, then in verse 10, he says, then I would still have this consolation. My joy in unrelenting pain would be this, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One.
Wow.
Job's comfort in all of this unrelenting pain is not death, is not restoration of his wealth, is not freedom from the pain. It's the fact that he would be comforted because if God killed me now, then I will have died before I sinned.
That's amazing.
You see the depth here?
That is.
Job lost his wealth, his health, his children, and his primary concern right now is that he does not sin. Even the point of saying, God, I would rather have you crush me than me do something wrong to offend you. We're different than Job, aren't we?
Way.
Jeez.
I mean, there's definitely a lesson to be learned here.
No kidding. No. The And this is the big, big point that you have got to get today. The ultimate evil is not suffering. It is rebellion against God's words, sin.
Right. Well, and actually, ultimately, that's actually what causes all of our suffering in the beginning. I mean, sin separated us from God. That's causes our suffering.
You're hearkening back to our radio shows about the logic, about why the world is the way it is. Why is there even natural disasters?
Right.
Sin, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, all these awful things happened. And that's why we have tornadoes and hurricanes and things that damage us in awful ways. Now, those you got to get over to truthrevolution.tv
right.
if you want the logical reasons. But what we're talking about today is the ultimate evil isn't suffering. It's bad. It's awful. I just met with my friend in the hospital. It was awful. But it's not as awful as sinning against God, as doing wrong. Like we say, God isn't giving me good stuff anymore, so I'm done doing good stuff for him.
But wouldn't you say though, that I mean, I'm sure some people would say, but wouldn't God understand? You know, if Job had said, I'll just go ahead and sin and against God. God can forgive that. He stayed faithful for all this long time, right?
Right. And what we think, what we're implying is that God is obligated to us.
Well, but when you say it like that, it sounds bad.
Right. It's like, hey, I've done good for so long. God's got to do a little good for me, as though right. God owes us something. But this is, friends, if God is real, he is God, like the almighty God. And we can't comprehend God.
Right.
Now, you can't see me because this is radio, but I'm like shaking my hands.
He's got his hands way, way far apart.
This is God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't even fathom the immenseness of his creation, the universe, from the microscopic to the huge macroscopic.
Right. And to put it in his perspective, I mean, we don't even understand our own planet. Totally.
Our planet, much less the tiny, tiny things inside our bodies or the gigantic galaxies.
And here our scientists are talking about, hey, fancy a trip to Mars. That's just like a stone's throw compared to the rest of the universe.
And we can't even do that yet. Right. And we can't even comprehend the creation, much less the one who made it.
Yeah, and God knows all of that intimately.
Intimately. Now, understand that sin is a rebellion and a violence to the nature of God.
Right.
I know our show is normally quick, fast-paced, based on logic and science and evidence and cool stuff, but I gotta let you ponder on this for a moment. Sin does violence to the nature of God. We cannot simply comprehend how dreadful sin really is, and we're going to try to put it into perspective after this break. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to go anywhere after this break, because we have to understand how bad sin is to understand why we would say the ultimate evil is not suffering, it's rebellion against God. So don't sin even in your suffering.
You know, I mean, and it almost sounds kind of ridiculous to say, hey, don't sin. I mean, you're suffering, so don't sin.
Right.
Like, how are those even correlated?
Right. And out of the context of Job's story, it would seem ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't understand the depths of sin, it would seem ridiculous. So if you're an atheist listening to this show, you've got to understand what sin really is. And a lot of times my atheist friends, they forget, we're not talking about like, oh, you did a naughty thing.
A little white lie.
We're talking about, we're talking about there is a being, a God, a creator, and he has a nature, and we have done violence to his nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into more of what that means and why it is worse than suffering. Then we're going to come back. I told you this is an unconventional answer to suffering, but you got to hear the rest of it to make sense of it. So don't just be like, this is weird, I don't get it, turn it off.
Right.
Come back. Also, you got to get over to truthrevolution.tv, where we've done last week's show was about the Bible, how to solve contradictions. Uh-huh. The week before that was about miracles. Are they actually possible? We've done a whole bunch of truth shots every week.
Yeah, and how do you get there? Truthrevolution.tv in your browser.
That's right. So you got to check that out. Last week's show went long, and we did extra stuff online only.
Oh, we are always doing extra stuff. So, it's good. Get over there. You can check all that stuff out and check out True Shots, too.
And you got to check out Revolution Church.
Yes, every Sunday.
10:15 Sunday morning, Salina time. If you're in Salina or nearby, you can come to us live. If you're elsewhere, check us out live online. Mm-hmm. Get to us from truthrevolution.tv and come right back after the end of this break.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is it okay for Christians to be cremated?
Certainly, burial is the most common form in the Bible. There are some cremations, but usually it is when a body is badly mutilated.
But we could say that burial better represents the hope in our own resurrection.
That's true, because in burial we show respect for the body and place our hope in the fact that someday God will resurrect our bodies to life.
Remember, Jesus had a physical body after his resurrection, and our goal is to have a resurrected body like his.
Right. But all bodies decay, so we don't have to worry that God can't raise someone from the dead if they are cremated.
That's right. The biblical example of burial is a report, not a rule.
Meaning that burial is usually reported to us and seems to be the common Christian method, but God did not give us a rule about this particular practice.
So God can raise those who were cremated
and those who were buried. All about resurrection.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're kind of talking about a depressing subject.
Suffering.
Yeah, suffering.
Well, it seems depressing, but we have good answers.
Yeah.
We've got logical answers for why suffering exists. Now, you got to go to truthrevolution.tv to get those. Today, we're not talking about why it exists. We're talking about what happens when you suffer.
Well, let's be honest. Without the existence of God, suffering would be unbearable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we do have an almighty God that we can turn to, that we can love, and that loves us back can get us through those tough times.
Right. Or at the very least, it would be meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it's not meaningless if we believe in the existence of God, which is an interesting side note. It's not what we're talking about today. But you know what? We have got a Bible contradiction and a listener question to get to today as well. So before we jump back into this listener thing, why don't we do the... Or listener. Well, before we jump back into the concept of suffering, let's go ahead and do a Bible contradiction.
Right. Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today is brought to you by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FRF.org.
Their name cracks me up.
It does. Because it just sounds so free, but it's not. All right. Check this out. They're getting really deep here. Should we steal?
No.
They want to know.
Okay.
And you'd be right if you said no. But they say in Exodus 20:15, it says, you shall not steal. Leviticus 9:13 says, do not defraud or rob your neighbors.
Okay.
Okay. This goes in contrast with Exodus 3:22. And so you, talking about Israel, will plunder the Egyptians.
Uh-oh.
Exodus 12:35-36. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and plundered the Egyptians.
Did God tell them to steal?
Well, that's what it's looking like. Luke 19:29-34. Basically, it's the story about where Jesus says, go find this donkey in this town.
Yeah.
And if he's tied up, he's never been ridden. If they ask you what you're doing with it, saying the Lord needs it, they did it. And then they asked, what are you doing? And they took it and said, the Lord needs it. Now, this blogger added to the end of this that said, you know, I was taught as a child that when you take something without asking for it, that's stealing. Did Jesus steal?
Okay, really? I'm glad that when he was taught as a child that when you take something without asking for it, that is stealing. I hope today we can help him grow up a little bit.
Okay, right on.
All right, we use our cracked acronym to solve Bible contradictions, to which this apparently to him appears to be a Bible contradiction. The D in cracked stands for dialect.
Right.
I wish it stood for duh. Because
let's change it.
This one's kind of This is kind of ridiculous. Look, a lot of times we find Bible contradictions. It's like, hey, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. This one's not a good question.
It's not.
Look, in the same way that killing during a war is different than murdering someone in cold blood, stealing an object that is rightfully someone else's is different from plundering a nation that you've defeated in war.
Okay.
It's just different. I can't believe you can't see the difference.
But I mean, did the Israelites defeat the Egyptians in war?
I've got a whole bunch of plagues and dead bodies to show you that they did.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that much.
They didn't have to actually pick up swords, but they totally defeated Israel or Egypt. Now, so they can take what they want, especially they can take what they want if God commands it.
Well, not only that, but they had been in slavery for how long?
400 years.
You know, and so.
Well, you're talking about reparations there, which is a totally different subject.
Okay.
But especially if God commands it, God ultimately owns everything. And in all of these cases they quoted, God instructed them to take the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's.
Yeah, but isn't God?
It's not stealing.
Isn't God going against his commandment, though? Thou shalt not steal.
It's not stealing. It's his.
All right.
That's like, I own everything in my house. If one child picks up my guitar and I take it and hand it to the other child, I have not stolen from him.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
This is all God's stuff. And that is the super simple explanation to a really non-Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
You got to remember that. D is for duh.
D is for duh.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, we call this a really...
The C in cracked is for, come on! Yeah.
We call this a really kind of like a stupid question. But really, I mean, there's no such thing as a stupid question. There are stupid answers. I know that's totally cliche, but, you know, I mean, as long as you're learning something from a stupid question, it's not really stupid. You know?
Sure, we'll say that. Okay, right. Now... back to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We are different than Job. You know, when we suffer, we ask questions like, how could God let someone suffer?
Right.
How could God do this to me? Because we believe that the ultimate evil is suffering.
Right.
But that's simply not true. The ultimate evil isn't suffering, friends. The ultimate evil is rebelling against God. It's sin. Let me try to put this into perspective just a little bit, okay? One sin is so vile. Now, I really just stick with me here. One sin is so vile that the sum of all human suffering cannot outweigh it.
Wow, really?
All human suffering cannot outweigh one sin.
So if somebody tells a little white lie, Bill Clinton, for example.
I'm not sure that was a little white lie, but okay. Sin is such a difficult thing to explain. Let me give you an analogy.
Okay.
God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't just command us to do good. That's what he is. I want you to do good things because that is my very nature. That is who I am. I am Jeff. Uh-huh. God is good.
Right.
Good is of God. Now, similarly, you have a child. That child is of you. Part of who you are is put into that child. And anyone who violates that child has violated the very nature of who you are.
Okay.
Pain. It makes you angry. Mm-hmm. When someone hurts your child, it hurts you more than if they hurt yourself because they came from you. It is of you. It hurts your nature. And when someone could have helped that child but doesn't, it harms you. except that good isn't just a child of God. Good is the very nature, being yeah. of God.
Wow.
And anytime we do something wrong, we are ravaging God's nature.
Right.
Do you understand how sin is? It is a very affront of violence to who God is.
You know, it's crazy because that's such an easy thing to forget.
Yeah.
God's nature is totally good, and we don't even understand what good is, honestly.
Right. You know, when we talk about our suffering, how bad suffering is, I get it, but you know, compared to being an affront to the very nature of all that is good, that's mm-hmm. what one sin is. It is doing violence to all that is good and perfect.
Right.
And my suffering doesn't compare to doing violence to all that is good. Abraham Lincoln saw slavery, and he says, there was a rising hatred inside of me against slavery. I swore if someday I could do something about it, I would. Mm-hmm. You know, most people saw slavery as like, it's helpful, it's okay, I don't like it, but whatever. Most people saw slavery like we see sin. It's not good, but whatever.
Right.
But if you see it the right way, you'll see it like Abraham Lincoln saw slavery. A rising hatred because you know what its essence is. It is evil.
Right.
Now, we got to get to this listener question before we run out of time today.
I got a question.
All right. This listener question comes from Nathaniel.
All right, Nathaniel.
He wants to know, why were the Gospels written more than 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion by unknown authors,
okay.
no less? And number two, why do you not have credible non-Christian references? Couldn't be forgeries soon after his resurrection? I don't care if Socrates existed.
Oh,
I mean, you know.
Okay.
First, why aren't there non-Christian sources?
He's got some information wrong. Lots of people think it was 30 years after Jesus right. before they wrote this stuff, and that's possible. But it's possible that it began to be written, including the book of Matthew, or especially the Q source, as early as 10 years after Jesus' resurrection.
Right. I mean,
so it could have been really early.
Yeah, think of it like this. When you go to publish a book, you take time to write it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a long time to write a book.
Right. But why were they written 30 years later or 10 years later? Because the followers of Jesus were out sharing the news. They didn't really have time to write books.
I am a busy person, right?
But he's missing the point here. 10 years or even 30 years or 40 years is really good.
It is. When you compare it to the other...
Because it was written by eyewitnesses, mm-hmm. not professional biographers. Right. Okay, we're not talking about someone who 40 or 50 years later was a fan of, you know, someone who used to know the Beatles. Mm-hmm. It was written by the people who were with Jesus.
Right.
These were eyewitnesses, and they were being persecuted for even mentioning these things.
Right.
So they didn't have any incentive to write it down, much less make it up. If there was any incentive, it was to shut up and be quiet about it.
Right. I mean, that would be the natural thing to do.
Right. So the fact that you have multiple sources in the Bible writing things fairly soon after Jesus, and it all lines up together, and they were being persecuted for even saying this.
Right. And almost to a man, every one of them died for their faith.
Right. I mean, they're probably telling the truth.
Right.
And this is really close to the source. So this is actually, he's acting like it's a bad thing, but it's actually really good evidence.
But what about the non-Christian references?
Okay. I'm not sure what he meant about Socrates, because Socrates was 400 years before Jesus.
Socrates.
But we do, and again, this is another misnomer here. Mm-hmm. Like, he says, why don't you have any non-Christian references? We do.
Yeah.
We have tons of them.
Right.
Roman historians, Tacitus, Suetonius, Thallus, there's another government official, Pliny the Younger. These guys all lend credibility in their writings to Jesus' existence.
Right. We've talked about this, God, I don't know how many times.
Oh, we did two shows specifically mm-hmm. on it. Just go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and search for historical reliability.
There you go.
We've done two shows on it. Plus, the Augustan taxes, the Titulus Venetus, Sir William Ramsay, the Egyptian papyrus, many, many other things are ancient confirmation of the Bible.
You could just go on and on.
You know. Yeah. I mean, this one's, we got tons of it. Stuff outside of the Bible. But of course, you can't neglect the Bible as a source because it's a primary source. There's no reason to discount it. If you wanted to know about Abraham Lincoln in depth and you found his autobiography, would you throw it away and say, nah, that doesn't count?
Right.
Of course not.
The Bible counts, people.
It counts. It was written by eyewitnesses who were persecuted for even writing this stuff down. So, you know, there was no incentive for them to lie, much less write this down. So they gave lives for it.
So what do we do with suffering, man?
Well, we have to remember, we didn't even get to the part about joyfulness, but we find that we're going to do a little bit online,
yes.
just a little bit. But what we find out from Job is that living rightly actually brings us joy in the midst of pain.
Yes.
That's it, man. We're going to talk about that online. truthrevolution.tv, and come on out to Revolution Church. If you want to hear the rest of the show, get over to truthrevolution.tv. We'll be doing that in approximately 10 seconds.
See you next week.
Revolution.
And that was
right about 10 seconds. Yes. Nailed it.
Unless, of course, you're coming at us a couple days after you listen to the first part of the show, then doesn't count.
That would just be lazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, to finish out our suffering discussion, I want to give you two reasons why we shouldn't sin.
Okay.
In unrelenting pain. Reasons why our focus should be on doing good even when our lives are terrible. Now remember, most people treated sin like people used to treat slavery. It's not a good thing, right? But we, you know, there's some benefit, but I don't like it, but it's there. Where Abraham Lincoln saw slavery and there was a rising hatred in it because he knew it offended the nature of these human beings. Mm-hmm. Sin isn't just something that's bad. It's something that does a violation to the very nature of who God is.
Right.
And so there needs to be this rising hatred inside of us for sin when we see what it really is. Now, Jesus said, and this is another reason why we need to avoid sin. Jesus said, first of all, John 8, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. Sin forces us to act in a way that we don't want to, and we cannot escape from it. That's why Job would rather die than not heed God's word.
Right.
Because he knew sin was a trap. It enslaves us, and it is an insult to a holy God. So, I mean, we need to do what's right. But second, and this is awesome, Job in verse 10, he says, okay, God, if you would kill me because of all my suffering, if you would kill me, quote, then I would still have this consolation, my joy in unrelenting pain, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One. You see what Job said there?
Right. I equate this to when you're mad and you do something stupid.
Yeah.
And you look back on it, 10, 15 minutes later, and you think, oh man, I'm so disappointed in myself.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
But even more than that, mm-hmm. imagine you're in the midst of something awful and you make a really good choice.
Oh yeah.
That becomes your joy.
Yeah.
I did what was right, even though everything was going wrong.
And it's like a trophy for yourself. I mean, you know, it's like a crown.
And as we mentioned, sin brings guilt and shame. We do wrong, it offends God, and then we do feel ashamed about it. We feel mm-hmm. guilty when we right. do wrong. The opposite is that innocence brings us joy. Living rightly can be our joy in the midst of pain.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Living rightly can be our joy in the midst of pain.
And I'll say it again. Amen.
There's many words in Hebrew for joy or happy. Mm-hmm. But when Job says that my joy in unrelenting pain would be not denying God, it's actually a word that's only used once.
Really?
And it literally means to jump for joy. Job literally says, after he lost his home, he lost his sheep, he lost his family, his children all died, and he is laying there covered in boils in pain. He says, I would jump for joy in the midst of my unrelenting pain if I only can get away without sinning against God.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
This can only happen, though, if you realize how bad sin is and how great doing good is.
Amen. Say that a lot.
My daughter was with us when we were in Minnesota one year for Thanksgiving. She was young. I believe she was 2 or 3 years old. And she was in our van as we were getting some of the luggage out. And she crawled up on top of the back seat. And I didn't see this. I was carrying some suitcases in. And she leaned over the back. And as I stood in the garage, I heard this gut scream. Mm-hmm. From Aaliyah. And as a parent, like, your stomach just sinks, right, and you know something's very wrong. And I turned around and I see her running to me, bleeding and crying and suffering. She had fallen out of the back of the van and landed face first on the driveway. Oof. And she ran straight into my arms, crying for help. And I cleaned her up. I can't stop the pain. And she says, it's going to get better. I say, yes, honey, it's going to get better.
Amen.
It's going to get better. Our relationship was so right that she could look to me for comfort and hugs, and she could ask me for hope. Mm-hmm. Is it going to get better? But if she had run away, I wasn't there.
Right.
Job has done what is right, even in pain, so he can run to God, mm-hmm. and he can ask God for hope. God, It's going to get better.
Run to the arms of your father.
Yeah. And yet Father can wrap his arms around Job and say, it's going to get better. And God can say, I'm proud of how you're dealing with this. And that's what we ultimately want God mm-hmm. to say about us.
Yes.
If you're a Christian, you know that's what we want God to say. In the midst of unrelenting pain, your joy was that God saw that you loved him and did what was right.
Amen.
And if you're an atheist and you're scratching your head, you have to understand what sin is. It is a violence to the nature of God. And sin is worse than any suffering we're going to ever face here.
Right.
Now, we have other shows. We have other logical reasons. But this is just one piece of the puzzle. Sin is worse than suffering. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. And not only that, but sin makes your suffering worse than we've talked about.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution today.
Right.
I know it's a little different. It wasn't as scientific, wasn't as logical, wasn't as
whatever
stuff.
It's not as brainy as other stuff.
As you can tell, because we just said it wasn't as stuff. But thanks for joining us. TruthRevolution.tv, you're on that website right now. Would you consider donating today to help the show out?
There you go.
We got equipment costs. We got costs for materials, all sorts of stuff.
Couple cents, couple dollars, you know.
Whatever, man. You guys are a blessing to the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you got a question, hit Ask Questions on the website right there. We love to answer questions. We try to hit them every single week. Now we're trying to do some questions right. for listeners. So and go ahead and send it in. So appreciate it. Also, get out to Revolution Church.
Every Sunday.
Come right as you are, no matter what you're wearing. Pajamas or whatever, doesn't matter.
Just
come on out. TruthRevolution.tv at Revolution Church. Thanks for joining us.